Chapter 2. A New Life at Limeridge House by Walter Hartwright. I opened my curtains the next morning and saw the most beautiful view of the countryside and the sea. Thoughts of London and of the woman in white were fading from my mind, and I was excited about the next few months at Limeridge. At around 9 a.m, I went downstairs and entered the large breakfast room, where I saw an elegant woman. She was quite tall, with dark hair, and she was standing with her back to me, looking out of a window. I was impatient for her to turn around so that I could meet her. When she did turn to greet me, I was quite shocked. She had an extremely plain face and might even have been described as ugly. "Mr. Hartwright," she said, "I am Marion Halcombe, one of your students." She stepped forward to shake my hand. "I'm afraid it's just the two of us for breakfast. My half-sister, Miss Laura Fairley, has a headache and is in her room resting. And Mr. Frederick Fairley never eats any meals with us. You should know that he has been unwell for a long time, although no one has any idea what is wrong with him. I call him my uncle, but of course he isn't really my uncle. My mother was married twice, the first time to Mr. Halcombe, my father, and the second time to Mr. Philip Fairley, my half-sister's father. And Miss Fairley, well, she and I are similar in that we are both orphans, but in everything else we are totally different. My father was poor, but her father was rich. I have nothing, while she will inherit this house. I am ugly, and, as you will soon see, she is pretty. But surprisingly, despite all of this, we are very close friends." Miss Halcombe was bright and friendly, and seemed to find it easy to speak without pausing. "I do hope it won't be too boring for you here." "Miss Halcombe," I began, "two evenings ago I had an experience that caused me so much wonder and excitement that it will last me for many months. I do not need any more." "Really? May I hear about it?" she asked. "I think you should hear about it, because although the main person in the story was a stranger to me, she mentioned the late Mrs. Fairley." "She mentioned my mother? Well, you have my interest now, Mr. Hartwright." I told Miss Halcombe the story of how I had met the woman in white, and I repeated what she had said to me about Mrs. Fairley and Limeridge House. "That's all very mysterious," she said when I had finished. "And are you sure that the woman isn't from Cumberland?" "Yes," I replied. "She definitely said she was from Hampshire." "Well, I think you were right to help her, but I do wish that you had asked for her name. We had better not tell Mr. Fairley yet, nor my sister. They won't know any more than I do, and they are both, in their own ways, nervous and sensitive. It would only upset them for no good reason. But I am determined to find out more about this stranger. My mother used to be very interested in the local primary school. Perhaps she knew this young woman through that connection. I have a large collection of letters that my mother sent to Mr. Philip Fairley over the years. He was often away in London, and she would write to him regularly, telling him all the local news. I will read them and see what I can discover." After breakfast, a servant took me to a distant part of the house and showed me into a large, beautiful room. The curtains were partly closed, and Mr. Fairley was sitting in an armchair at the other end. He was smartly dressed, but looked pale and unhealthy. I guessed that he must be between 50 and 60 years old.
"Mr. Hartwright," he said in a quiet, weak voice, "do sit down, but please don't move the chair. I am a very nervous person, and any noise at all is very painful for me."
"Mr. Fairley, I am very happy to..." He stopped me in the middle of the sentence.
"Oh, please forgive a sick, weak man, but I simply have to ask you to speak more quietly. Any loud sound of any kind is unbelievably upsetting to me. And I hope you don't mind if I close my eyes while we talk. It's too bright in this room."
For around 10 minutes, he continued to speak only about himself and his poor health. He also complained about the smell of one of his books and several things that his servant did or did not do.
"How would you like me to teach the two ladies?" I asked when I had a chance to speak.
"Oh, I am far too ill to think about that. The ladies can decide themselves. Well, that's all we have to talk about, I think. I really must rest now. Please close the door very quietly as you leave."
I walked out of the room as quietly as a mouse, and I was very happy to leave. I decided that I would not return to that part of the house again unless Mr. Fairley asked me to, and that seemed very unlikely. It was much later in the day when I finally met Frederick Fairley's niece. She was extraordinarily beautiful. Her hair was golden and fell softly onto her white dress. Her eyes were intelligent and of a beautiful light blue colour. She laughed easily and was warm and friendly. We talked as we went to the veranda, where we sat and looked out at the garden together. Then later, after dinner, the three of us spent time in the drawing room. While Miss Halcombe sat quietly reading some of her mother's old letters, Miss Fairley played Mozart on the piano. How well I remember that magical evening. Nearing the end of the evening, Miss Halcombe called me over to where she was sitting. She held up one of the letters she had been reading and spoke to me in a low whisper.
"Mr. Hartwright, I think that this letter may throw some light on your strange experience in London. My mother sent it to her second husband, Mr. Philip Fairley, about 11 years ago. At that time, Mr. and Mrs. Fairley and my half-sister Laura were living here, and I was completing my education at a school in Paris."
She looked very serious as she began to read part of the letter.
"Mrs. Kemp at the village shop hasn't been very well. Her sister, who is called Mrs. Catherick, arrived last week from Hampshire to take care of her. She came to ask me if her little daughter could go to the village school while they are staying here. I said yes, and she started school the next day. Anne Catherick is her name, and she is only about a year older than our darling Laura. However, I'm afraid she isn't terribly good at learning and seems very shy and a little odd. They had travelled with only a small suitcase, so I offered them some of Laura's old white dresses and white hats. The little girl was delighted. In fact, she said she loved white and said she would only wear white dresses from now on. What a sweet and polite girl she is."
Miss Halcombe stopped reading and looked at me.
Did the poor woman you met in London seem young? Young enough to be about 22 years old? She said. Yes. And she was strangely dressed, you said, completely in white. Yes, all in white, I said. I think the last part of the letter will surprise you.
As she continued to read the letter, I noticed that Miss Fairley had stopped playing the piano and was now walking slowly down the long room towards us.
But there is another reason why I like little Anne Catherick so much. My dear Philip, although I admit that she is not half as pretty, the shape of her face, her hair, the colour of her eyes, everything about her is almost exactly the same.
I stood up from my chair before Miss Halcombe could read the last words. At the same time, a strange feeling passed through my body, not unlike the feeling I had experienced when the hand had been placed on my shoulder that night on the London road. There was Miss Fairley, still in the white dress she had been wearing earlier, alone in the candlelight and looking straight at us with a serious, questioning look on her face. She looked just like the woman in white.
You see it,
said Miss Halcombe in such a low voice that only I would hear.
You see what my mother saw 11 years ago.
Yes, I replied. They are very similar.
Shh! She will hear us. Say nothing of this to her, she whispered.
And then she raised her head and smiled at Miss Fairley. That was how my first full day at Limeridge House ended. Miss Halcombe and I kept our secret. A few days later, Miss Halcombe asked her half-sister about her younger years and about Anne Catherick. Miss Fairley certainly remembered the girl and the fact that they had looked very similar. She reported that Anne had stayed in Cumberland only for a few months and had then gone back to Hampshire. As summer turned slowly into autumn, I enjoyed my time at Limeridge House. I spent each afternoon in the company of 2 young women, one of whom was elegant, intelligent, and strong, and the other who was gentle, sensitive, and very beautiful. Miss Laura Fairley was endlessly interesting to me. You might have already guessed, but I had fallen in love with her. I believed that she felt strongly about me too. I could see it, and I could feel it. But oh, how difficult it was! Of course, I could not show her how I felt. An ordinary man who has been employed to teach young ladies at a grand house cannot simply fall in love with his student. It is not allowed. Over the weeks, I saw a change in Miss Fairley. She seemed depressed and grew more distant from me. I had been at Limeridge House for 3 months when, one morning, we were having breakfast, and I noticed that the ladies were quieter than usual.
"I have seen your uncle this morning, Laura," Miss Halcombe said in a serious voice. "He has asked for the purple room to be prepared for our guest, and he told me that Monday is the day, not Tuesday."
While these words were being spoken, Miss Fairley looked down anxiously at the table in front of her, and she looked as though she might cry. After a few moments, we all stood up to leave the table.
"Will you come for a walk with me, Mr. Hartwright?" Miss Halcombe said as we walked into the corridor.
She led me outside and across the garden to the small summer house.
"Mr. Hartwright," she said, "as your friend, I want to speak openly and honestly with you. I know that you have fallen in love with Laura. I do not blame you, and I know that you have wisely chosen to do nothing about it. But you must leave Limeridge House before serious harm is done. And the reason is that Laura Fairley is engaged to be married. The last word went like a bullet to my heart. A long time passed when I was unable to speak or move. Then Miss Halcombe spoke again, more softly this time. It is a marriage that her uncle has organized. She does not love this man, but does not hate him either. I will leave tomorrow, I said suddenly. I will wait until the post arrives, and then I will say that I have received a letter that calls me to London. May I ask who the man is?
He comes from Hampshire, and he is a baronet called Sir Percival Glyde.
A baronet? And from Hampshire? I remembered Anne Catherick's question to me, and how worried she had been that I might know a particular baronet. Could it be the same person?